Good morning. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. We do have a lot of visitors, and we're thankful for that. We hope that if you have the opportunity, you'll come back and be with us again. Among the illustrious visitors, we have our granddaughter, who is our Paris number. She's she's 11, going on 20. She's with us from Chandler, Arizona. We're glad to have her here with us. I know there are other grandchildren and great-grandchildren that you have with you today, and we're just delighted that everyone is here. I can't tell you how excited I am about the fact that you have some guest speakers coming in. Those are trying out. We've been working toward that end. I think we've been here now. This is the 14th week that we've been here. And we hope that things work out very well for you to find a man and his family who will work with you in a great way. You probably won't believe this. This is not a preacher's story. It's the truth. This morning, I told my wife, I said, you know, I just have a feeling that the next week or two, they're going to be trying out someone at Holly Lake. And sure enough, when we got here, we found that out. And that's wonderful. We're delighted and wish that things go very well for you. The only thing I think about that is the negative on that, when we started out, I started out with a series on the life of Paul that I'll be doing lesson number 14 tonight. And it doesn't look like I'm going to finish it, so. But maybe I will. Maybe it'll be a few weeks before you have a preacher here, and hopefully we can finish that lesson. Our lesson this morning is God creates order out of chaos, and there is a song that we sing occasionally. I wanted to bring the words to mind for you this morning. All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed. Should all worship bring to thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee day by day, chants thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, heaven's high shrine rings with melody divine, lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss, to be ever praising, Lord, may we. We have a wonderful God, one who's created a wonderful world for us to live in. And certainly we should be praising God every moment of our lives. I want to share a passage with you, a short passage from Job, the 38th chapter, beginning verse 1 through verse 7. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? And since you know, or who stretched the line on it, on what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, and when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Isn't that a great passage? The book of Job is a wonderful book to study. I know a lot of people find that it's a depressing book, but in reality, it's a book that you see Job and he grows closer to God as God, particularly in the last chapters, straightens him out, really helps him to to focus in on what he should be focusing on. Job had a limit to his patience. And we know him as a man of great patience, but even he had a limit. He longed for some order out of his chaotic life. And he expected, no, really he demanded an explanation from God as to why his faithfulness had been rewarded with one tragedy after another. But God put him in his place. And God is good at that, isn't he? And when God finished his discourse on creation, as we read some earlier, all of Job's arguments were completely silenced. And he said, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. How many times have we thought that we knew what was best for us in our lives? And we questioned God about what was going on in our lives, and yet later on we find out that God does know best. Our Father knows best. When the Lord was responding to Job out of the storm, he said, as I read earlier, the creation was a time when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Can you imagine being one of those heavenly cherubs who observe the Father and the Son and the Spirit carry out their individual roles in creating this complex and marvelous world in which we live? I believe that you too would have shouted out for joy. And when did all this take place? Well, we know that it took place in the beginning. When is the beginning? Well, we know that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all eternal. And when you talk about things that are eternal, they have no beginning and they have no end. So it couldn't have been talking about when they came into being because they're eternal. But it was in the beginning of creation. And one of the remarkable things concerning the daily journal entries about God's activities for those 7 days is its simplicity. God knew that mankind could never appreciate the power and the majesty of his creation. And therefore, the words that God directed Moses to write in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, appear to us to be rather simplistic and almost matter of fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. You know, I can almost guarantee that if we had created the world, we would have been much more wordy than was God. Many books have been written attempting to offer more plausible explanations as to the creation than the biblical record. Academia has scoffed at an all-powerful God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And they have succeeded, at least in part, in having their theories regarded as facts and having God's facts regarded as unbelievable theory. Yet their explanations of the creation include evolving over millions of years from one-cell amoebas, and that our orderly world was created after a spontaneous combustion took place in the heavens. Their theories are outlandish and unproven, and yet, with many people, they are accepted as fact. And the scientists still have not answered the critical question about beginnings, and that's what the word Genesis means, is beginning. Assuming, and that's quite an assumption, at least for me, assuming their theories are correct, who created the one-cell amoeba? Or who created the materials that spontaneously exploded and created our beautiful world that we enjoy today? The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." So can you imagine this great power, God, as he just speaks and the world is created? And how is it created? It is created out of things that cannot be seen, that are not. That's a powerful God. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who was debating the issue of creation versus spontaneous combustion with some fellow scientists. And Franklin dismantled a clock in their presence. And he placed all the parts, large and small, in a trash can and said that he was going to shake that trash can and then empty its contents on the floor. And when the contents were emptied, it would be a perfectly assembled clock in full working order. Well, the scientists laughed at him and they mocked him. And then he said, "Yes, it would be ridiculous to believe that this could take place. But it is much more ridiculous to believe that gases and elements in the universe could undergo a spontaneous combustion and create the world in which we live." Franklin was a smart man. God is not the creator of chaos and confusion. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. You know, there are many things about which Christians worry. Despite the fact that Scripture tells us that we are not to worry and that we are to cast all of our anxieties on the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. But ironically, there are many other things that are far more critical about which we never worry. The rising and the setting of the sun, the changing of the seasons, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. And we do not concern ourselves with these things because we know that God has created an orderly world where these critical events are so automatic that we never worry about them. Now, the point I'm trying to make this morning is this. If Almighty God could create such a magnificent and orderly world merely by speaking it into existence, then he will have no difficulty turning your chaotic and confused life into a purposeful, meaningful, and orderly one. And if you can have faith that God did create the world in the 6 days of the beginning, then you must have faith that he can create some beautiful and wonderful things in your life. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. On all 6 days of creation, God praised His own handiwork. And when He had completed everything, He made a summary statement. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1, verse 31. And the Lord, who can rebuke the winds and the waters by simply telling them, quiet, be still, can certainly still the stormy winds and the rushing waters of your life. The Lord, who can make demons to leave the bodies of people who were possessed by them, can certainly expel the frightening and powerful demons in your life. And if the Lord can take the ultimate symbol of defeat and humiliation, the cross, and make it a victorious rallying point for Christians, then He can certainly turn your defeats and your humiliations into victories. If God can create an orderly world from chaos, then He can certainly make an orderly world out of any chaos or confusion that you may have. You know, there was a young boy who was on the living room floor, and he was just playing. And he looked up at his mother and he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I am embroidering." Well, he didn't understand that big word. And neither could he understand why she would spend so much time and effort doing something that, from his vantage point on the floor, quite frankly, looked like a mess. And when the mother finished her project, she asked the boy to sit on her lap. And from his mother's vantage point, she had embroidered beautiful flowers. And she said to her son, "From underneath, this looked messy and jumbled. But you did not realize that there was a pre-drawn plan on the top. It was a design that I was following. And when you look at it from this side, it looks much better than from where you were on your side." And she said, "Have you ever looked up at your Heavenly Father and asked, 'Father, what are you doing?'" And He said, "I'm embroidering your life." And you say, "But it looks like such a mess to me from this side." And the Father says, "When I finish embroidering your life, I will bring you to heaven and put you on my knee and let you see the beauty and design of your life from my side." I will end with the passage that I began with. And by the way, if you hire a preacher, you need to hire one that preaches short sermons like I do. Amen. I'm surprised I didn't get several amens out of that one. Okay. "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? And since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I believe it's going to be that kind of time when we're in heaven. Well, we're all going to be praising God, and where all of us are going to be shouting for joy. It's a time when there will not be sorrow. It's a time when there will not be death. It's a time when there will not be pain. I believe it'll be a time when there will be, God will give us a complete understanding of the underside. When we're here on earth, it was so difficult to understand why things were done the way they were. And I think the sons of God will shout for joy. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity. If you need to become a Christian, to be baptized into Jesus Christ, certainly this would be a wonderful time. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to pray for you and encourage you in any way we can. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
There is beyond the